Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Apply to be a guest to apply. All right, so today I have Mark Lopresti on the line. He's Chief Market Strategist for Market Rebellion, and he's also founder of Moneta Advisory Partners. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam.
All right, Mark. So first off, hey, I'm happy to have you on the show. I know you are a busy, busy guy. Like some people are in the media, some people, you know, comment on the market. But what does your schedule look like today? Like I'm glad you fit us in. Like how does your media schedule look like today?
Well, I did a radio show for about 20 minutes this morning on SiriusXM Business Radio, hosted by my friend, the talented Janet Alvarez. That was from like 9:40 to 10. Then I have a recurring segment also on SiriusXM Business Radio with my great friend Dan Looney. Harvard Business Radio is the name of his show, commenting on markets. And then at 3:00, I'm going to be on set live at Fox News World Headquarters in New York City to open Liz Claman's show. Liz, of course, has been doing financial news for a long time, previously over at CNBC, as I was. Now over at Fox, she does the 3:00, the Claman Countdown. She's a terrific lady, great talent, and it's always a pleasure to be on with her. So busy day today.
Man, fantastic. So I was like, keeping up with you here. I'm glad you made some time for us. So just to dive right into this, of course, today we're going to be talking about the MicroCap conference, where I'm happy that we're going to, you know, finally be meeting in person. So we'll get into the MicroCap conference. We'll also talk a little bit more about really getting the word out, effective marketing strategies for emerging growth companies. But before we get into that content, we'll start this show the way that we start them all, with what we like to call our Mission Matters Minute. So Mark, at Mission Matters, our goal is to amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's what we do. Mark, what mission matters to you?
Well, I think the 25 plus years on Wall Street, Adam, has led me, and I try to keep this in mind in just about everything that I do, to a mission of improving financial literacy, empowering people to take control of their investments, to have the knowledge that they need to make smarter financial decisions, to understand the basics of equities and options and futures and how markets work. And a lot of what I do and have done, I've been doing financial media for 15 or so years now, is around that, is educating and helping to empower people to live a better life and a more financially independent life. So that's the mission that matters to me. I know that's shared by my friends and colleagues at Market Rebellion and the other companies that I'm associated with.
Fantastic. So just diving right in, Mark. So I know there's many topics that you could talk about, but the reason why we chose, you know, small cap and why we're focusing on that is, of course, the upcoming conference that's going to be taking place the end of January leading into February 1st in Caesars in Atlantic City. So looking forward to that. Charlie and his team over there, I know that they've been working real hard, and I'm excited to go out there and help support and get the word out. So that being said, you know, focusing on this micro cap and, you know, small cap market, speaking to maybe some of the CEOs that'll be in attendance, I don't know. How can some of these, I know this is going to be like small cap hasn't necessarily done the best. How could some of these companies raise investor awareness in the midst of all this noise that's going on?
Yeah, it's challenging, Adam, and it's been particularly challenging over the past, what I would say, 2 years of a pretty difficult market for small caps, right? Small caps, so I talked about this earlier because I was asked this question on one of my radio shows today. A lot of people have said, you know, 2024 is the year of the small cap comeback. I would love to see that, but I don't think we're going to see that. I think we'll see the beginning of it somewhere in the second half of the year. But the reality is small caps are risk assets, and small caps perform well when we're in a risk-on environment. And we are simply not in a risk-on environment during a period of changing monetary policy. So, of course, we've had, as everybody well knows, the most rapid rate hike trajectory ever in the history of the Fed. We are looking and hoping that interest rates will begin to be cut this year. the market in the end of December was predicting an 86% or so chance that the first cut would come in March. That now has changed below 50% when I looked at the futures this morning. The expectation, as we've maintained for quite a while now, is that we wouldn't see the first rate cut before the end of the second quarter. And even when we get it, it will only be 25 basis points, followed by two subsequent 25 basis point cuts, which means we're going to get less than 1% in cuts total this year, Adam, which does not lend itself to a risk-on type of environment. So I think small caps and micro caps are going to continue to be under some pressure, but that doesn't mean that we hide our heads under the covers or bury our head in the sand, to pick whichever allegory you prefer. CEOs and their marketing teams need still to make sure that they are out there, they are beating the drumbeat, they are explaining what differentiates their businesses, what their core IP, what their core edge is, you know, what's, as I like to say, to refer to it, what's your secret sauce, right? What is it that makes you special and a unique investment opportunity? And in my experience, companies have a hard time crafting that message and conveying it. And look, there's plenty of terrific people and very experienced people in the IR world, in the PR world. A lot of them will be at the event. We know and work with some of those guys. They're great at getting the message delivered, but the message has to be crafted properly before it's disseminated. And we see a lot of companies fall down and not get that job done properly. The other key takeaway, and we can dig into either of these two points as much as you like, is the way that you deliver your message, right? Gone are the days of sending a press release, and that was your primary means of communicating. People really don't read press releases anymore.
Like checking a box just to say you did it. Like, it's done. Now what?
Yeah, that's 100% correct. And look, I'm old enough to remember the days. Of course, I was very young at the time, but I'm old enough to remember the days that, you know, it was a campaign of press releases by fax. And that, you know, you would send, these IR firms would have these capabilities to send, you know, hundreds of these press releases out there. And I'm not even sure at that point in time how much those things were read, except by the analysts who cover those stocks. And of course, when you're talking about small cap and micro cap, we don't have a lot of analyst coverage to begin with. It is an underserved part of the market, which by the way, I think does investors and the folks that run small cap and micro cap companies a disservice. I would like to see more analyst coverage of these smaller emerging growth companies. But the other thing that these companies need to do, and it's something that we enable for some of the companies that we work with at Moneta Advisory Partners, is, you know, you can't just do a CEO interview, pop it up on YouTube, and hope that someone watches. It just doesn't work that way. What you need to do, it doesn't work effectively that way. What you need to do is to combine those CEO interviews. I'm not saying that CEO interviews aren't important and don't do them. People should do them for sure.
Of course. Of course.
But the way that they get distributed, right, is what I'm talking about. And if you can, and there are some channel partners and platforms out there that do it, and I don't want to do any free advertising here, but what the most effective thing that we see is to embed that content into something that people are already watching, right? In other words, if I can sort of replicating, you know, everybody wants to be interviewed on CNBC, right? Like, that's the all of the CEOs, that's sort of like the brass ring. I'd be interviewed on CNBC or on Fox Business, of course, whose ratings are, for some shows, actually beating CNBC in a lot of instances. You can't always do that, right? Especially for small caps and micro caps. In fact, networks, in many instances, as you probably know, Adam, have policies against covering companies. In some cases, like at CNBC, it's a $1 billion market cap policy. So if you don't have a $1 billion market cap, they won't cover you. Right. Yep. At all. And guest hosts and contributors like myself can't even make mention of the companies when we're on the. So what do you do? So you, as I said, if you can take this interview content and have pieces of it or clips of it embedded in some of these platforms that folks are already going to mm-hmm. see other news and information about the broader markets. And that we see as being a highly effective strategy.
Yeah, we operate, and that's the marketing space that we operate in. So obviously we're not CNBC, but we do work with quite a few CEOs and market leaders, and we even go a step further at times when they have the inclination and the want and launch their own shows on podcast platforms and things like that. So, you know, different CEOs, different people would like to do things differently. But one thing I completely agree with you on is that if somebody's thinking forward about this, to me, with all the channels and platforms that are out there, with some strategy, working with companies either like yourself or individuals like yourself or others in the business, like, they have more opportunity to reach more of an audience from the standpoint of what they actually might, you know, whatever their niche is or whatever their product is, because there's less competition, because so few are doing it, in my experience. So the competition for your like small cap investor is like, for those dollars of people that are interested, like the playing field's pretty wide open. That's one of the reasons I was excited about the microcap conference, because I'm like, wow, that makes sense. It'll be my first year attending, so I got pretty excited about it. I'm like, finally, and I'm hoping that, you know, the CEOs that attend and everybody else, that they're going to get a lot from it, and hopefully through listening to this, so they can kind of be prepped for, you know, a different way of thinking maybe than they were thinking of before. Because I agree with you on CNBC or Fox, it's like, yeah, that you're not going to necessarily get on, and you don't want to wait to get the message of your story out until you hit that $1 billion market cap or whatever. You may never hit it if you don't get your story out, right?
Yeah. Oh, listen, that's absolutely right. And the reality of it is, I think the conference industry has done a pretty good job of expanding mm-hmm. coverage of the space, of the small cap space. You used to just have, you know, Roth and Redchip.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got, you know, our friends over at DealFlow, of course, the one we're talking yep. about attending. I'm actually speaking on Tuesday and Wednesday of this coming week at the Sequire Small Cap Conference in beautiful San Juan, Puerto Rico. So there's definitely been some others that have popped up that are helping get some cut. LD Micro is another one that I actually speak at twice a year. They do two events in Los Angeles. So we do have more options and more opportunities to get the word out.
Hmm. So not holding you to, you know, any specific examples on this one, because obviously I'll do the disclaimer. Anybody that's listening to this, like, definitely check with your own compliance individual to make sure that you're and department to make sure that whatever marketing efforts that you're doing match, you know, their expectations. But speaking high level, Mark, when it comes to this marketing, getting the word out, telling the story, any compliance missteps that, you know, people should be aware of?
Yeah, well, you know, one part of my background you didn't cover is that I practiced as a securities lawyer for 20 years.
You got, man, the radio, security, 25 years of Wall Street. I'm like, okay, go ahead. I was like, man, you're right. I didn't cover that one. You got too many for me. Go ahead, please.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So this is an area that I know pretty well. I've been out of that game for a few years now, because I'm much more enjoying media and some of the other work that we talked about earlier. But the reality of it is, yes, you have to be very careful, and it's not just slapping a forward-looking statement disclaimer. You have to make sure that you disclose any interest or compensation arrangements with the folks that are helping you. We saw, of course, if it was in the context of crypto, but it was a headline grabber, and one that I talk about a lot, like, you know, Kim Kardashian and others getting slapped by the SEC for a social media promotion without disclosure of their compensation or their interest in the company. So it's very important that small cap issuers work closely with their securities counsel, with their compliance consultants, to make sure that the disclosures that are necessary are in whatever form of media that you're talking about. And it's really not that hard to do. And then, you know, of course, look, I think that folks sometimes get a little bit ahead of themselves in these interviews. And the last thing a company wants to do is restate financials or to overpromise and then underdeliver. Markets are very unforgiving in that context.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that CEOs, as I said, work closely with their compliance
consultants and their securities attorneys to make sure that the proper disclosures are made.
Wonderful. Yep. And I think that's a great way to end it, Mark. Make sure the proper disclosures are disclosed. That being said, though, if somebody wants to continue the conversation, follow your work, follow your media trail, what's the best way for people to do that?
Well, tune into SiriusXM Business Radio. You can catch me on there very often. Tune into Fox Business, where I have recurring segments like the one I'm doing today. You can follow me on Twitter at MXLESQ is my handle. We do a show with Market Rebellion called The Rebel's Edge 4 days a week. It is a broadcast live at 1 o'clock. It's a show that covers the markets, futures, equities, options, and macro monetary policy and things of that nature. You can catch that on YouTube. Just Google Rebel's Edge or put that into the search bar on YouTube. And yeah, those are the primary ways, or catch me at one of the conferences coming up. We've got a pretty heavy conference schedule this year.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you, Mark, for coming on the show. And to the audience, hey, if you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, hit it. Got many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, so hit that subscribe button. Keep it going.